This is the Cullinane and Green Report. Today we interview Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins is a pioneering media entrepreneur and a prominent opinion leader in the technology business, investment, and editorial world. Tony earned this distinction as the creator and editor-in-chief of Red Herring, which he founded in 1993, and the Always On Network, his current venture. Even as Red Herring's revenues were soaring, along with the rest of the technology sectors, Tony co-wrote The Internet Bubble, Inside the Overvalued World of High-Tech Stocks, published by Harper Business back in 1999, a book that foretold the dot-com bust and warned investors to get out quick. The Internet Bubble became an international bestseller, and a sequel was published in 2001. Now Tony has launched a new media brand, Always On, a highly interactive online network for technology insiders. With both Red Herring and Always On, his mission has always been to deliver the brightest thinking, the best analysis, and the most focused reporting and research for the benefit of entrepreneurs and investors around the world. Tony continues to chronicle the technology world in a regular column for the Wall Street Journal, and as a television commentator, MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews, CNN, CNBC, BBC, and Bloomberg Television. His prolific editorial output consistently lands him on the list of top 10 technology business journalists by Adweek's Technology Marketing magazine. Tony's public activities include serving on President George W. Bush's Information Technology Advisory Council. He co-founded and chaired Silicon Valley's premier business and technology forum, the Churchill Club, in Palo Alto, California. Prior to launching Red Herring and Always On, Tony was founder and CEO of Upside Publishing and vice president of business development at Silicon Valley Bank.
Welcome to the Cullinane and Green Report.
Well, it's good to be here.
And I know you're in Hollywood right now at the On Hollywood event. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Well, the event kicks off tonight with opening ceremonies and honoring what we call the On Hollywood 100 top private digital media and entertainment companies from around the planet. The focus of the event is to really hone in on where digital entertainment and media is disrupting the entertainment world and creating new formats for entertainment media delivery and creating, frankly, all sorts of new economic opportunities for aspiring entrepreneurs.
So it's kind of like Hollywood and Silicon Valley getting together, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, you know, I used to do, when I was at Red Herring, did Red Herring on Hollywood about 5 years ago, and it's really interesting to see how much things have changed. The way I would describe it is that during the Red Herring on Hollywood days, we were throwing a party, bringing together Silicon Valley and Hollywood, but one was going home together after the party. Now the world has radically changed, and everybody's sleeping together.
That's great. So we really think that Always On is a media company that really gets it. You do blogs, you have a social network, you stage events like this, and I noticed you're also going to be webcasting this event. And so we really really think a lot of Always On. Can you tell us a little about Always On?
Sure. In about 2002, it became very clear to me that, you know, blogging was the real deal. And it was had a lot of attributes that were ripe to exploit from a media entrepreneurship standpoint. So we first weighed in by creating kind of a group blog environment for the global Silicon Valley, where we would post both interviews that we would do, but also solicit guest blogs from industry insiders like Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, or Tim Draper, the venture capitalist. And it was a way for them to kind of dialogue online in an open environment. And from a media entrepreneur standpoint, it was a beautiful thing because blog software was very easy to use and very cheap to operate. Also, you're getting a lot of participation from your members. So in the end, when you look at it, 90% of your content is coming from your viewers. And viewers really appreciate this kind of open environment. So they're, on average, spending about 9 minutes on our site. So with that, we evolved into building our own kind of social network back end so that our viewers could actually see each other. And then we had the first Innovation Summit at Stanford, where we brought people to the live environment to complement our online environment. And then we webcast that free all over the planet. Last year at our third annual summit, we had 20,000 unique live viewers coming from 107 countries.
Wow.
So again, that was very much in line with what we call our open media strategy, where we encourage open and visible participation from our readers. And then finally, kind of in a retro way, we created a quarterly print magazine, which we affectionately refer to as a blogazine, because half the content in that print magazine is driven by what's popular on our site. So in that sense, our members play a role as editors by really, you know, voting on which content they think was the most interesting, and then we package that in a print product and distribute that to 100,000 technology insiders around the planet. So, you know, all in all, I think we believe in all mediums, but we believe that the future is about consumer viewer participation in media, and that we really feel, if you look at the instant messaging generation, that they're not going to trust a media brand in the future if it doesn't open up and allow people to participate and see the other members of the community. So clearly we're on the kind of early end of that movement, but it's, you know, every day it's becoming more and more obvious that this is a good strategy for media.
Right. By the way, I'm one of the 100,000 subscribers, and I've actually published a couple of articles on Always On. I just think it's a great idea, and you're really touching a lot of different areas with it. What do you see happening to traditional media? I mean, they've got to be really scratching their head about what's going on here, and I know they're trying to participate, but what do you think the future holds for traditional media outlets?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of the major themes that we're really putting out front here at On Hollywood is that there is this major, what we call, consumer-generated media revolution going on.
Right.
An interesting statistic is that when you look at the average 21-year-old, over 60% of the content that they read online has been created by somebody they know. So that means there's only, 38% left over that's being created by traditional media or traditional entertainment. So this is a trend that is, if it hasn't hit big media and big entertainment in the face, they're going to have to deal with it, because consumers are generating content that is robbing dramatically mind share, particularly away from the youth. And as for the PC generation, back when Steve Jobs and Bill Gates were in their 20s, they ended up influencing, you know, people 20 years older than them and driving innovation in the economy for the IT economy for 20 years. And we believe that this is beginning to happen in a radical way in the entertainment media space.
Right, right. I guess they call that generation the millennials. They're really embracing this concept of Web 2.0. And you've touched on that a little bit, the Web 2.0, some people call it social computing, the consumer-generated content. That really is starting to be more and more effective. Now, the Cullinan and Green Report focuses on how technologies are rocking the world of business development. What specific technologies do you think are having the most impact on traditional business development, sales, and marketing?
Well, our view, which, you know, we tend to believe that at this point in history, we're really entering into Web 3.0.
Right.
Web 2.0, you know, we think was really coming off the bubble, learning from our mistakes, and, you know, testing out a few new ideas, two of which were this whole participatory media environment or blogging. The second one was experimenting with the idea of putting communities online in the form of these social networks like MySpace and Facebook and others. I think in 3.0, what we're seeing is that business brands, corporate brands, media brands, the commercial world is going to be forced, again, to embrace, if you will, blogging and social networking and move their brands into new environments that allow people to participate and really join their networks and be visible to each other. Obviously, if this occurs as we believe it will, then that creates tremendous new business development opportunities for businesses, because all of a sudden, you know, you go to sleep and then you wake up and 100 new people have joined your brand blog network, and you can check out their profiles, you can see who they are, you can instant message them or send them a private email and create, you know, all sorts of new opportunities with people who you didn't know, you know, when you went to bed the previous night. So we think eventually all communities will go online and become more participatory. So if you're a corporation, you obviously serve your customers, but you serve your employees, you serve your investors, you serve your suppliers. You know, our view is all brands are going to take all of the most important constituencies and build online communities for them around their brand. And if they don't do that, basically they'll disappear. It's very much like in Web 1.0, you had to, if you were a brand, you had to put up a website,
right,
or you going to be visible. Now you're going to have to put up an interactive participatory network.
So Web 2.0 was basically people starting to experiment with these new social computing devices, mostly consumers, people using things like MySpace. And what you're saying is Web 3.0 is that these concepts will be embraced by corporations and that everybody will move into this more consumer-oriented content creation and creating these communities. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I mean, what we see is that it's kind of ironic because there was a period of time where we thought that the media world was going to be consolidated into the hands of the conglomerates, you know, people like Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
That, you know, cost of distribution and marketing a media brand was so expensive. What's interesting is because of cheap blogging software and new technologies, the world we see is actually exploding into millions of media brands. Basically, every brand, whether you sell, you know, fly fishing rods or personal computers, is going to have to create a media brand for the communities that they serve. So, you know, Web 2.0, I think, was a very idealistic period of time. Blogging was driven by individuals. The social networks were driven by individual profiles. In Web 3.0, brands are going to embrace those qualities and create really brand blogs. And they're going to use those brand blog networks to attract communities and then allow them, you know, to see each other. In fact, we at On Hollywood have just launched a new network called On Hollywood, the On Hollywood Network, around our event, around digital media and entertainment that we're going to continue to maintain throughout the year. And it's built upon a new platform, a new web publishing and community management platform that we created that we're spinning out into a new company called Going On. And we're going to offer that platform to any brand that wants to build, in essence, their own always-on network.
Right, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. You've actually started a company, so you're continuing your entrepreneurial ways, right? This is a new company you've formed, right?
Yeah, and it's it's still in alpha. And our first experiment is creating a new network called On Hollywood. But the interesting long-term strategy is that our social network, if you will, is going to become interoperable across any network that uses our web publishing platform. So, for instance, you could create your own network around your brand, and Always On members and, you know, HP is setting up their own YouTube network on our platform. Audi is using our platform to create a marketing network. People may come in by joining HP Always On or Audi, but then they'll be able to see other community brand networks that have been developed on the platform and one click in and join those networks.
Really? So
yeah.
So not only coming in with the intent to maybe be in the HP network, but seeing another interesting network and popping on, and I assume there's going to be some conditions to be able to do that. Or is it just totally open?
Well, every network will have the opportunity to determine whether they want to have an open public network. So, for instance, Always On is, you know, just encourages anybody that wants to join our network will be able to join. HP is going to require that you own an HP computer to be part of the network.
Right.
And so that's a moderated network. Or you could actually create a private network so you could, for instance, network your employees and use that as a way to communicate, you know, to your global employee base without the ability for outsiders to come in and get on that network and read what you're posting for your employees. But, you know, the net of it is that we're creating what we call a network of networks environment because, again, we believe that the light bulb has gone off in the corporate community. They're saying, hey, you know, we've spent our whole life trying to solicit feedback as an important information source on how we're doing, how our products are doing, you know, trying to capture new ideas. So the blogging format is perfect for that. And like we talked about earlier and what you guys, you know, are experts in is, for instance, I found the co-founder of Going On, I met on the Always On Network. His name is Bernard Moon, and a brilliant young man. And together, we've been working for the last year building this platform in India. And again, the Indian outsourcing house that we use to build the platform was also identified on the Always On Network.
Wow.
So we really believe, you know, we're actually practicing what we preach and believe that there's a great opportunity to create a lot of new business development opportunities by creating, you know, highly visible networks around your brand.
Right. We would definitely agree. We see the trend too. People are, you know, I'm in the Midwest now. I used to live out in Silicon Valley, but I've been here about 2.5 years. And people are really starting to ask questions. I mean, they're very interested. You know, they're saying, how is this stuff going to impact our business? And so I think you're right. It's going to take a little while, but I think you're right over the long run.
The benefits are very clear once you start, you know, interacting and seeing new people join your network. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that makes your heart go pitter-patter. So, for instance, you know, you have thousands of people that listen to your podcast. Wouldn't it be interesting to, one, see who they are, and, two, wouldn't it be good for your brand if they're carrying your brand, your network brand, on their, you know, on their personal member profile pages, so that and link back to your network. So it's going to be, you know, allows for a highly viral marketing environment.
Well, we'll have to talk to you offline about that. I think that's very attractive. Speaking of podcasting, though, what role do you see podcasting in this new environment?
Podcasting is amazingly, extremely popular, and I think growing. The interest for podcasts and the listening of podcasts is growing at a rate that I personally could have never predicted, which is a great thing because, you know, I, like you, spend my time, you know, talking to really smart people and have very interesting conversations, and it's much more interesting, at least the listeners are voting this way, to actually be able to listen to Tim Draper or Guy Kawasaki, you know, right from the horse's mouth rather than seeing a transcription. So our new Going On platform offers very easy multimedia blogging functions. So you can, when you go to create a post, you can choose what kind of post it will be and basically instantly do a photo blog, a video blog, or a podcast. Blog. So, you know, we're huge believers, and we think you're going to continue to see people listening to more and more content online.
Right. I hear you. I mean, I don't even listen to the radio anymore. I download stuff to my iPod, audio books, podcasts, music, and I take it with me everywhere I go, in the car, at the club, on an airplane. And I think it's really, you know, we're taking control of our own programming, and it's really very exciting. Now, you're the guy that that brought us the Churchill Club. I was a member of that. Red Herring, Always On. In addition, you wrote the book The Internet Bubble before the bubble burst. And so I think we should really listen to you when you say, hey, this is something that's happening, because your track record's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing that I think is really interesting, and, you know, again, to rewind a little bit, you know, when I did write the Internet Bubble back in 99, my thesis was basically, yes, the world is about to blow apart, but great entrepreneurial opportunities will come after the bubble has burst. In fact, I think I said specifically that between 2002 and 2011 would be the greatest time to be an Internet entrepreneur. Of course, at that time, I didn't see, you know, blogging and social media happening. But now that we're sitting in the middle of this peak time to be an entrepreneur, I think the biggest trend in my mind is you're going to see all communities that we participate in the real world go online and become more accessible and become centers of posting and sharing very specific content. And that is a huge new opportunity. Ironically, it also represents a very huge new challenge for the entertainment and media world, because they're going to now not only have to compete with each other, but they're going to have to compete with their own consumers.
Right, right. I think it's going to change a lot of business models. And I think the idea is you have to embrace these new technologies, because, you know, you can't get the genie back in the bottle. This is what consumers want, very similar to what happened with online music. You know, that was clearly something consumers wanted, and Steve Jobs figured out how to give it to them, and look how successful he's been.
Exactly. So, you know, although it's kind of interesting, we would argue that while we owe a lot to Steve for really breaking down the barriers, psychological barriers between Silicon Valley and Hollywood, that in a way he's still pursuing somewhat of a proprietary worldview. And I think when you look at the instant messaging generation that's coming up, you know, what they want to be able to do is instantly access their content across any web-enabled device and be able to post and share it. So if you want to share, you know, an iTunes song, you have to burn it on a CD, right?
Right.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens to the whole iTunes business in the next couple of years, because, you know, we think that that open web, open standards, open media is really where to hang your hat. And Steve is not really embracing that at the point.
Well, and, you know, it's reminiscent of the early years of the Mac. And I think if you're absolutely right, you have to open up technology eventually. But, I mean, he continues, and Apple continues to make such elegant products that, you know, the jury's really out. But I agree with you, open is better. Finally, you've got another conference coming up, the conference in Silicon Valley, the Innovation Conference, the Summit, right? Can you just tell us a little about that?
Yeah, that is, Hollywood, obviously on Hollywood, is focused very much on the consumer, digital entertainment, and media. The Innovation Summit at Stanford, which is held July 25th and 27th this year, is really more of a thought leadership event that covers the whole breadth of information technology, and also, in some cases, political issues and economic issues such as outsourcing and things of that nature. So we focus on open source software movement as an example, online security. We also dabble in, you know, the search business and other consumer related technologies, but it's a much broader kind of thought leadership driven event, and we have a great cast of characters lined up already.
Well, Roger and I are going to be there when we'll see you there. Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us today and be on the Cullinane and Green Report. And have a great conference, and we will be reading about it. And we'd also like to learn more about going on. Can our listeners get involved with that, or is it still an alpha and only open to a small subset of people?
Actually, thanks for asking. First of all your listeners can watch the entire On Hollywood conference by going to onhollywood.goingon.com. And when they experience On Hollywood online, which is both going to be a blog environment where people will be able to, you know, register their comments and opinions about what they're watching, but they'll also be able to launch a live webcast and a live chat, which, you know, interestingly, we project that chat coming in from all over the world on our screen. So whether you're at the event, so whether you're here or not, you can participate through the live chat. When you experience the On Hollywood event, you will be seeing the first major example of what the Going On Network environment is going to look like, because we've built that new website on the new environment. Within the next couple of weeks, any of your listeners will be able to, in essence, go to goingon.com and create their own networks within 15 minutes.
Right.
And start building a community. So, you know, we hope to see a lot of real interesting communities starting to spawn off the platform. And again, part of the sales pitch is that you'll come into that environment with a built-in membership, which is only one click away from joining your new network.
Right. Well, it's very exciting. So, again, I really appreciate you taking the time. And this is Joe Cullinane. We've been with Tony Perkins. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Cullinane and Green Report. We hope you'll join us again next time. In the meantime, remember, we're on the bleeding edge, so you don't have to be.